Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gland Pharma Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivas from the Investor Relations team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rayo. Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to Gland Pharma earnings conference call for Q2 of FY26. I am Srinivas Dange from the Investor Relations team at Gland Pharma. Today, we have Mr. Srinivas Sadu, Executive Chairman, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ravi Mitra, Chief Financial Officer from India office, and Mr. Alain, CEO of Cenexi, who is connected virtually from France. We will begin the call with the business highlights from Mr. Sadu, followed by operational highlights from Mr. Giri. This will be taken up by updates about Cenexi from Mr. Alain, and lastly, the group financial overview by Mr. Ravi. Before we proceed, I would like to remind everyone that some of the statements made today will be forward-looking and are based on management's current estimates. These statements should be considered in light of the risk associated with our business. This call is being recorded. The playback and script will be available on our website shortly. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Srinivas. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Gland Pharma's Quarter 2 FY26 and H1 FY26 earnings call. I'll start with a strategic overview, followed by updates from Mr. Shyamakant Giri on operations, Alain on Cenexi, and Ravi on financial performance. Q2 FY26 was another strong quarter for Gland Pharma, and we expect an even stronger second half, supported by new launches of few key products, volume growth, CDMO contract wins, and continued improvement at Cenexi. Year to date, our consolidated performance reflects broad-based growth driven by strong execution and improvement in profitability. The recent confirmation that the U.S. will not impose tariffs on generic pharmaceuticals is a positive development, aligning with our expectations. This reinforces our strategic focus on strengthening our U.S. and global supply chain presence, and we are well positioned to capture emerging opportunities, including GLP-1, biosimilar biologics landscape, through our scalable manufacturing network and strong compliance record. Our strategy is focused on four key aspects: growth, capability, efficiency, and ROC, all aligned towards building Gland Pharma into a high-end, innovation-driven CDMO and specialty injectables company. On the growth side, we are expanding it into a differentiated and complex portfolio. With a comprehensive list of our generic portfolio, we are steadily adding products centered on complex and differentiated technology, which will help Gland move to a value-led growth model. Our focus areas include complex portfolio in long-acting injectables, hormones, suspensions, and peptides, ready-to-use formats for hospital use, a growing ophthalmic products, including suspensions and other niche high-value injectables that address global therapeutic needs. R&D continues to be a core differentiator. We invested 5.8% of our revenue in R&D this quarter, focusing on complex injectables and next-generation delivery systems. We filed six ANDAs and received five approvals this quarter, with seven new products launched in the U.S. We have filed 20 RTU-backed products in the U.S., with 14 already approved and 10 more in development, targeting an opportunity of roughly $659 million. 15 products are currently under active development in high-potential categories, including seven 505(b)(2) and eight ANDAs, reinforcing our focus on differentiated injectable platforms. Second aspect is adding high-end CDMO capabilities from scaling capacity and competencies. The second aspect of our value-led growth strategy is to build Gland Pharma as a high-end CDMO partner of choice for global investor and specialty pharma companies. On the capabilities front, we are investing in both capacity and technology across our network. Our biologics CDMO facility currently operates at 8 KL capacity, We plan to expand biologic CDMO capacity to 23 KL over the next phase to support the biosimilar and biologic fill finished opportunities as well. We are increasing cartridge fill finish capacity from 40 million to 140 million units, supporting both GLP-1 and insulin programs. Our infrastructure is designed for interchangeable fill finished across vials, cartridges, and prefilled syringes, ensuring flexibility and scalability. In parallel, we are expanding capacity in dry powder filling, ophthalmics, and blow fill seal technologies. CDMO programs in oncology and prefilled syringes are progressing well, with new partnerships being added. These steps firmly position Gland among a niche global CDMO companies capable of delivering end-to-end sterile CDMO solutions from development to commercial scale. On the efficiency front, we're strengthening margins and operations is the third key aspect. The third strategic focus is efficiency and profitability, as I mentioned before. We're executing a company-wide drive to improve margins through stringent cost control, alternate API suppliers, and process optimization. Portfolio rationalization, pruning low margin or non-core products, capacity reallocation toward high margin and niche formulations, and continuous automation and digitization to improve yields and reduce waste. These measures are designed to ensure margin resilience even in a competitive pricing environment while maintaining our high standards of quality and compliance. Capital efficiencies and value creation as ROC is very important to us. Finally, improving return on capital is central to our long-term value creation framework. We are allocating capex only to high ROC, high growth initiatives such as CDMO expansion, GLP-1 capacity and complex injectable capabilities, while maintaining tight control on working capital and focusing on cash generation. The goal is to grow not just in scale, but in quality of earnings and capital productivity, ensuring that each investment creates incremental and sustainable shareholder value. At Cenexi, we are optimizing product mix towards higher value offerings and deepening integration with Gland's teams to capture operational synergies and efficiency gains. Our long-term strategic focus is clear: to build Gland Pharma into a global, innovation-led injectable and CDMO company that consistently delivers growth, margin expansion, and superior capital efficiency. Thank you for your continued trust and support. I now invite our CEO, Mr. Shyamakant Giri, to share his perspective on operational business.
Thank you, Mr. Sadhu. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Building on what Mr. Sadhu highlighted, our performance this quarter met expectation, with Gland's core business firmly maintaining its growth trajectory. Year on year, revenue increased by 6%, adjusted EBITDA by 30%, PAT by 12%. In Q2 FY26, we saw strong revenue growth in our regulated market, 10% in the US, 15% in the Europe, propelled by a strong 21% growth in Cenexi in Rupita. With our current momentum, we are confident in robust growth in the second half of FY26. Having summarized our overall progress, let me now take you through the consolidated performance. In Q2 FY26, our consolidated revenue was INR 14,869 million, up 6% from last year. Consolidated EBITDA reached INR 3,139 million, also growing 6%, driven by margin expansion in our core business, but partly offset by planned operational shutdown losses in Cenexi. Our Q2 FY26 consolidated EBITDA margin was 21%. To further contextualize our result, year-to-date performance offers a more reliable view of our growth trajectory. For the first half of FY26, our consolidated revenue reached INR 29,925 million, reflecting a 7% increase over H1 FY25. EBITDA stood at INR 6,817 million, with a margin of 23%, up from 20% from the previous year, and was primarily driven by strong performance in our base business and reduced losses from Cenexi. Next, I will highlight the performance of our base business and Gland, excluding Cenexi. Breaking down our base business performance by market, in the US, we launched 7 molecules in Q2 FY26, including daptomycin, artilu, sumatriptan, and new colistimate strength. US revenue rose 8% year-on-year to INR 8,005 million for Q2 and reached INR 15,176 million for H1 FY26. Our other regulated market, including Europe, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, generated a revenue of INR 462 million and INR 1574 million for H1 FY26, growing 18% year-on-year in H1. The rest of the world market contributed INR 1635 million in Q2 FY26 and INR 3168 million in H1 FY26 and remained almost flat year on year. For H1 FY26, while our overall product sales revenue in ROW grew by 19%, the tech transfer and the CMO product revenue went down by 53%. The Indian market generated INR 665 million in Q2 FY26 and INR 1258 million in H1 FY26, accounting for 6% of the total business revenue. Let me move to Cenexi. Performance in H1 FY26 showed improvement over previous year despite the planned shutdown in Q2. For the first half, Cenexi reported a revenue of Euro 88 million, marking a 10% year-over-year growth in Euro terms. Alain will further share details. With many strategic initiatives, namely headcount optimization, finance and IT back office creation in India, price increase initiatives with key customers, one Euro BD integration, capacity enhancement at BLA, and Fontenay Line G product validation underway, we remain confident in delivering a solid performance from Cenexi and achieving EBITDA improvement here on. At the overall company level, we continue to strengthen our presence in high-growth rest of the world markets by expanding our reach and introducing differentiated high-value products. Building on this and leveraging our expertise in key therapeutic area, we are actively evaluating inorganic growth opportunities in market aligned with our strategic priorities. In the US, our focus remains on acquiring new customers while deepening relationship with existing partners. We remain committed to excellence in quality and regulatory compliance while maintaining our cost leadership. We believe that investing in top talent, enhancing our leadership capabilities, and building organization strength will position us well for the next phase of growth. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Alain for more detailed update on Cenexi's performance. Over to you, Alain.
Thank you, Listagiri, and good evening, everyone. Cenexi recorded 40 million euros in revenue this quarter, an 8% increase over the same period last year, driven mainly by strong performance at our Braine-l'Alleud and Hérouville sites. Year-to-date revenue stands at 88 million euros, reflecting a 10% growth year over year. Although we incurred losses in H1 FY2026, due to a planned shutdown, EBITDA losses decreased to 5 million euros from 11 million euros last year. This improvement demonstrates that our turnaround strategy is taking effect. I will now provide key site-level updates. In Fontenay, we used the shutdown period to upgrade infrastructure and equipment. I am pleased to report that our GMP certification has been renewed through the end of 2026 and most of the ANSM's observations have been addressed. Our progress was reviewed during their routine inspection in July. The activity of our Hérouville site remained on track with our recovery plan. This quarter, activity increased significantly, driven by the ramp-up of two key products, an inactivated vaccine and a sterile ophthalmic gel. Both sites of Braine-l'Alleud and Osny maintained a strong momentum. At Braine-l'Alleud, qualification of two new freeze dryers is underway and expected to be completed by the end of 2025, which will significantly expand our lyophilization capacity. Our outlook remains positive. We secured four new project wins this quarter, reflecting increased confidence in our capabilities and our strategic shift toward higher value offerings. We remain on track to improve EBITDA in Q3 FY2026 and to establish a sustainable growth trajectory for Cenexi. Thank you for your attention. I now invite Ravi to take you through our financial performance in more detail. Ravi, over to you.
Thank you, Alain. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being with us on the call today as we review our financial performance for the second quarter and first half of the fiscal year 2026. During the quarter, our consolidated revenue stood at ₹14,869 million and increased by 6% year on year. Base business revenue stood at ₹10,767 million, supported by growth in the US markets, albeit constrained by other regulated markets. Cenexi revenues improved by 21% year on year to ₹4,100 million. Overall, gross margins stood at 63%, up from 59% in the previous year. Excluding Cenexi, base business gross margins were at 61% against 56% in previous year, supported by favorable business and product mix. H1 FY26's performance remained robust. During this period, our consolidated revenue stood at ₹29,925 million and increased by 7% year on year. Base business revenue stood at ₹21,176 million. Cenexi revenues improved by 20% year on year to ₹8,750 million. Overall, gross margin stood at 64%, up from 59% in previous year. This was supported by favorable business and product mix. Excluding Cenexi, base business gross margins were at 60% against 54% in previous year. During Q2 FY26 and H1 FY26, expenses were higher mainly on account of high R&D, employee cost, one-offs, and continued high cost at Cenexi. Our total R&D expense for the quarter were ₹614 million, or 5.8% of sales, and increased from ₹493 million in the same period last fiscal year due to higher number of filings. Our R&D programs remain on track. R&D expenditure for the first half stood at ₹1,075 million, or 5.1%, and increased from ₹982 million during previous year. Excluding ESOP's employee cost for the quarter stood at ₹3,710 million, which increased by 12% year on year. Further, at Cenexi, various initiatives to reduce overheads are progressing well. During Q2 FY26, adjusted for ESOP related non-cash expense of ₹140 million and one-off GST related provision to the tune of ₹76 million, EBITDA stood at ₹3,355 million, reflecting a margin of 23%. For base business, excluding Cenexi, adjusted EBITDA stood at ₹3,971 million, reflecting a margin of 37%. We expect to improve EBITDA at Cenexi with improvement in sales from Q3 FY26. In H1 FY26, adjusted for ESOP related expense and one-off provision, the EBITDA stood at ₹7,092 million, reflecting a margin of 24%. For base business, excluding Cenexi, adjusted EBITDA stood at ₹7,622 million, reflecting a margin of 36%. Cenexi EBITDA losses were down to ₹530 million from ₹971 million in previous year. Other income, primarily consisting of foreign exchange gains and interest earned from bank deposits, amounted to ₹842 million in Q2 FY26 and ₹1,417 million in H1 FY26. Consequently, our net profit for the quarter stood at ₹1,837 million. During the quarter, we achieved a PAT margin of 12% in line with Q2 FY25. This is after considering the above mentioned additional cost factors. Net profit for H1 FY26 stood at ₹3,992 million, or 13%, against 11% in previous year. On a standalone basis, our effective tax rate was 26% for the quarter. As of September 30, 2025, our total cash and equivalents at the group level stood at ₹30,999 million, including non-callable deposits of ₹3,960 million. External debt at Cenexi level stood at ₹2,544 million. Cash flows from operations during Q2 FY26 was ₹3,312 million, while for H1 FY26 it was 5,933 million. Our average cash conversion cycle was 163 days for the first half, compared to 172 days at the end of FY25, largely on account of better receivable and payable management. Total capex during the first half of the financial year amounted to rupees 1,969 million, mainly deployed in Cenexi for the new projects, capacity building and maintenance capex. The expected capex for full year FY26 for gland-based business is approximately rupees 2,500 million, and for next year it is expected to be approximately rupees 3,000 million. We are investing in capacity enhancement at our Pashamylaram site, in cartridge fill finish, including pen assembling and packaging line, insulin production, powder filling line, and ophthalmic suspension line. With that, I would now like to request the moderator to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Sukrit Patil from Eyesight FinTrade. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. I had a forward-looking question on Gland Pharma's long-term planning. As global pharma outsourcing grows and competition intensifies, what is Gland Pharma doing to build a strong edge, not just by expanding capacity, but by creating something deeper that is that makes the company hard to replace?
Yeah, so if you have looked at, heard about my original comments on what we're trying to do, not just capacities on what we have today, but also building capabilities around the complex side. If you look at the growth which came from last quarter also, or from the launches, what we have done on the specialty segment, CDMO launches that we have done, whether it's auto-injectors, what is pen device systems. Added to that, the complex injectable manufacturing setup, what we have done, that also we are expanding into different technologies. So from manufacturing capability perspective and technology perspective, we are expanding the areas where there is an entry barrier to others to come in. Added to that, we are also entering spaces of biologics and biosimilar CDMO as well. So it, not just the from the compliance perspective, but from manufacturing and development perspective, these are difficult areas compared to the generic portfolio, what we've been doing for the many decades.
Thank you. I had a final question in regards to margin and cost planning. As input cost and regulatory dynamics keeps on shifting, how are you planning to protect the margins, and what cost levers do you think will remain strong over the next few quarters?
If you have seen last 3 to 4 quarters, we are actually improving our margins quarter on quarter basis because of the initiatives we have taken, both from automation of lines, also from input materials, and also from the operational efficiencies perspective, working on the batch sizes, and also looking at the bottlenecks where we can automate smaller things. So several initiatives have been taken, and that's what is leading to, if you really see from the adjusted EBITDA's perspective, the base business today is around 37% EBITDA, which is more than what we've been anticipating, where we're targeting on 35, now it's 37. And also the portfolio rationalization we have done. So we are one of the key aspects is how to get good ROC. So the initiatives we are taking is on the portfolio side, which are the areas we want to enter in and focus on instead of just going after the small margin products. So the focus is on margin and EBITDA and PAT rather than just the top line, and because on a long-term basis, we think with low margin products, and especially in injectables, high quality production, it's difficult to sustain on long run. That's why you could see a shift on how we are looking at things moving forward on specialty products, and investments are making towards that.
Thank you very much, sir. May I know your good name, please?
Srinivas Sadhu.
Thank you very much, sir. And I wish the entire team best of luck for Q3.
Yeah, thank you.
you. The next question is from Yash Singhi from Renaissance Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi sir. So I just wanted to ask a couple of questions on the US business. So I just wanted to understand when does the revenue pick up from Tangalore and Delta Vision is expected to kick in, and how is the ramp up expected going on in US business going to happen post that, and how the margins are going to look post the ramp up? So that was the first question.
Dalbavancin is next quarter. The gold date is this quarter. Sorry, this quarter is Dalva. So the gold date is actually this month. So you'll see revenue coming from that product this and next quarters. And initially there will be a larger quantity pickup because of the pipeline filling, and then it will normalize. Kangula, we have time because of the patent situation. But Dalva is this quarter. From U.S. Growth perspective, like we said, actually it's been a strong quarter for U.S. We have grown, if you compare to the previous quarter, we have grown almost, if you actually break down the U.S. sales, we have grown from the product perspective almost 17%. Almost 7% coming from the new launches and 10% from the products which are there before. And those, you know, in the previous quarter, we did mention about new contracts what you signed with GPOs. That started effect last quarter. That's what has generated another 10% growth. Where we have lost is on the milestone revenue. Milestone revenue, actually, we did only about 44-45 crores, which is normally we do around 75-80 crores. That's a normal run rate. Combination of different factors. One is, of course, the situation in the U.S., and so people slow down on licensing products to wait and see. That's one. Second, of course, the timing. Generally, some quarters it may be low, some quarters it may be higher, depending on the milestone we achieve in that particular quarter. So it's more of a timing issue, which might bump up in the next couple of quarters. So I think overall, we are on track. At least the U.S., we are doing better than we thought of.
Understood. Milestone revenues are related to Enoxa and Heparin, is that right?
No. Milestone revenue is on the new products, what we license out to companies. And whenever we reach a milestone in terms of development or filing and approval, we'll get different milestones. So once you achieve that, you'll get that milestone revenue.
Understood. So just on the Enoxa and Heparin sales, if I look at the FY23 levels, is that wrong to look at is that an elevated level because of COVID or something? And is the range currently in which we will grow based on the last year's base? Is that right understanding?
That's correct. FY23 was a COVID year, so that's an aberration. But the growth is from the previous year. And Enoxa to Civica supply started this quarter, so it's one of the growth levers which you have mentioned last quarter.
Understood. So there's no inventory build-up issue now, if that results, right?
No. There's no inventory build-up. It's normal.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, in addition to milestone revenue, if you could also share how much has been the profit share for the quarter? Or the revenue
profit share? Profit share is about 13%.
Okay. And sir, secondly, so what explains this? Because the proportion of let's say milestone and revenue share for the quarter has been broadly lesser compared to let's say earlier quarter or even year-on-year basis. And despite that, the gross margin of base business has been improving. So if you could first, you know, sort of highlight that, and then I
share. So profit share generally is around 9-10%. So it's because of the high margin products what we launched last quarter, so and the previous quarter, so it is a bit high, 13%. So you can consider the margin of the products have improved compared to before. If you see the contribution margin of the products are also higher compared to before, while the milestone revenue has gone down.
Got it. And on the Cenexi side, the gross margin has been trending lower. So if you could elaborate on that aspect as well.
I think it's more to do with the product mix and then the products what you make during the shutdown, what's possible. But overall, I think if you consider look at the entire year, the product mix won't change much. I think it's more to do with what you produce during that quarter.
On a YTD basis, we maintain the gross margin at 74%.
Full year 26 can be considered to be 74-75% to be the gross margin on a sustainable basis?
Yes.
Yes.
And secondly, just on this, considering the number of products being approved under RTU, if you could just share how much sales may be analyzed or quarterly we make from these products?
We take that offline, Tushar. We can reach out to them.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. The first question is, while you mentioned that the second half would be even stronger, you know, we've given a guidance of mid-teens for the consolidated revenue growth previously. Does that still hold? I mean, how much stronger can second half be? Because if I look at your first half run rate, that would imply second half being, you know, over 20% sort of growth. Do we have that kind of visibility, you know, on second half?
Yeah, if you see, we have seen a growth compared to the first quarter. And then Dalba is a bigger product which is going to launch this quarter. 1%, 2% this way, that way, but we should come closer to that.
So just to get be clear, on a full year basis, we still maintain the mid-teen growth guidance?
Yeah, Neha, on the consolidated basis, it should be there. Maybe a few percentage here and there, but should be there. As Mr. Sadhu mentioned, that bigger products are planned to be launched in H2.
And how much of this would be driven by Cenexi revenue? You know, Cenexi contributing 20% growth. I think we'd mentioned 50 million euro as the, you know, revenue run rate that we want to achieve exit. So are we on track to achieve that for Cenexi?
Yeah, 50 million is our target from Q3.
Okay. And just an extension on Cenexi, again, while the profits will improve, will the 50 million euro allow us to achieve break-even in Cenexi? Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, that should be a bit positive, yes.
Okay, so technically that would mean exit third quarter, fourth quarter, we are a bit positive in Cenexi.
Yeah, maybe a couple of million lower than that also could bring us a bit positive. But for sure, if we hit 50 million, then it will be the possible.
Understood. And I think in the opening comments, there was mention of new wins in Cenexi for a couple of products. If you can give some color in terms of, you know, when we should start seeing that, you know, flowing through. And also, you know, I think we talked about, an, you know, $250 million build for Cenexi. In the next 2 years, I mean, do we have the building blocks to get there? If you could give us some color on that.
Okay,
Neha, we'll check that and let you know by when this specialization will happen.
But Neha, just to add on, you know, there are many strategic initiatives that we have taken in the next year, like headcount optimization, price increases. We are creating a back office in India to support the finance and IT, their capacity enhancement and all of that. So there are many things going on, and the whole EBITDA decrease from 11 to 5 signals that our transformation project is on the right track, and it will continue to remain on that track.
Understood. Sorry, I have two more questions, if I may. First on the other regulated markets, that seems to have, come off very sharply. I read that in the presentation that you mentioned phasing. So by phasing, you mean that some of these supplies have been captured in the, first quarter, and I should look at the first quarter as the run rate, or some of the supplies is likely to come in the third quarter?
So this is more one molecule timing issue in Europe that you see. Yeah, this will get corrected in the quarters to come. So we had Daptomycin supply moving from one quarter to another.
Okay, so this still comes in the second half.
Yes.
Okay. And last question on ROW. I think you had mentioned that that's a big growth driver that you're looking at. We are investing in creating the portfolio. When can we start seeing momentum in the ROW business? Because it's clearly not evident in the last few quarters. So when does ROW start picking up for Gland?
So ROW, if you were to little split the ROW business into two, one is the product sales, the product that we sell to our partners across ROW. That part is growing by around 19%, Neha. And that part is a significant portion, around 90%, 93% of what we do in ROW is that part. But we also have our CMO product. We also do some CMO business for companies where the goods end up getting distributed in the ROW, the tech transfer project. That part is going down by 53%. And therefore, the net result is a little flattish growth. But as you said, our strategies in ROW started to work, where we have seen growth across regions, LATAM, Southeast Asia, Africa, Middle East of the world. We are happy that our product sales are growing 19% on the first half, 19%. And that to me is the industry beating growth.
And the CMO is likely to remain subdued for the next few quarters, since I'm assuming that tech transfer is not happening.
So we do things for Lilly, DRL and all of that. That will also increase, but it will take a couple of quarters to come to the top.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from Bino Pathiramparil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening all of you. Just a couple of questions, maybe a little bit follow-up to earlier questions. I was looking at this overall regulated market business. This is stuck at around 95 plus minus range, $95 million plus minus range for last eight to ten quarters. Of course, you mentioned that in second half you have some large products, so you will see some growth. But apart from that, do you have a confidence that this business can grow at double digits continuously over the next 5 years? Do we have that visibility?
I think you have to look at the combination of what we do in the US, just not our own products what we sell, but also the complex CDMOs what we are doing. So, and I did mention in my previous call that from the growth what we achieved of 17% in the US last quarter, 7% actually came from the CDMO portion of the business, which we are doing for companies who are already there in that market where they did a tech transfer to our site. So in addition to the products, what is giving us growth with the new launches, what we're doing from our R&D portfolio, there's also substantial growth coming from the initiatives we're taking from the CDMO aspect. That's why you're seeing this growth coming from the US. But if you really see pure generic US market, it may be growing at 4-5%, but we're growing higher than that.
No, I'm looking at the whole regulated market business as a whole. You know, if someone US grows, something else is coming off, and something else grows, US comes off. And the 17% you are talking also has a huge tailwind of currency depreciation. In US dollar terms, the growth is not that big. So as a whole, the regulated market business piece, do we have visibility of double-digit growth over years, over the next few years?
Yeah, we do have, because of some of the contracts we signed on the CDMO side for Europe market, if you're considering that also regulated, then we do have growth. We did mention about colistimethate, which is an on-market product, which we had a dedicated line. That's getting started next quarter. So that's a huge business. So if you combine all these in the regulated markets, there is a growth, and most of it is actually coming from the CDMO side of it.
Understood. Second on this, Cenexi, earlier we had a very firm guidance of break-even in Q3. Do we still have that strong visibility, or is it that we have a target of 50 million euro and if we achieve that, we will break even?
No, no, we do. We do stick to that break even guidance for the next quarter, this quarter.
Understood. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to your R&D expense going up this quarter, to roughly say 6% of the top line. So if you could highlight, you know, where this expense is exactly getting invested into.
If you see filings, there are six filings which happened during the quarter. Also, the complex portfolio what you're handling. So that's a bit more expensive compared to the generic product what you produce. It's a combination of these two.
Okay, so I mean, should we account this as a kind of a one time and then, you know, it moves back to that roughly 4-5% range what you normally do?
Yeah, we roughly we always say around 5% on an annual basis. It should be around that.
Okay. And so my second question is with regards to the progress on GLP-1 capacity and biologics. So any comments on, you know, how the traction is building in terms of getting new customers for your additional capacity, and on the biologic side, in past, I think we announced something for Dr. Reddy. So where are we on that, Iskam?
So on the GLP side, as I mentioned, you know, we have launched the first partner GLP-1, liraglutide, you know, and we have 40 million capacity up and running, building another 100 million. So by mid of next year, we'll be having 140 million capacity on cartridge, which makes us one of the top tier capacities here. On GLP-1, on the cartridge line, we are also exploring opportunities beyond GLP-1. Two more contracts are getting signed on the GLP-1. We will, of course, tell you guys when it's signed. On the biologics, the DRL revenue has started to, reporting the DRL revenue this quarter onwards. And as we go further, that arrangement is solid. And we, you know, the whole biologics plant started to give us revenue. We also have intent to increase the capacity in the biologics plant from 8 KL to 23 KL. Okay. And there are collaborations, discussions going on with companies in India and outside of India.
Okay. So with the revenues for DRL, which segment are we exactly recording that right now?
So we have not any separately segment we are recording. It's in the normal revenue it is coming. We have only one segment as of now.
No, I'm talking with regards to your markets like US, Europe, other core markets or ROW, where exactly that gets captured.
Currently it is India only.
Understood, sir. All right. Thank you. And I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Aman Goyal from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is related to US business. Can you just elaborate the difference between price erosion and the volume upticks in the US-based business and contribution from the new products?
Price is almost flat if you compare to the previous quarter. It's no variance. Quantity 10% and new launch is 7%.
Okay. And sir, what is the update on RTU? How much market share we are targeting for consolidated RTU?
Generally, any RTU product, any product, you start with 15% or so till the contract opens. But if it's already available in the market, it's easier. But otherwise, you have to create that market. So several products which are already there, where we initially it's around 15-20%, and then it will increase once the GPO contracts opens. And you see top 20 products, almost I would say 80% of the products we have market share of 25 and above. So we should assume that we might will get there sooner or later. Some we also have like 40% market share.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from Rahul Jivani from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for taking my question. Sir, I had a question with respect to the base business ex NXT. Now, if we see our base business ex NXT has been flat for past 5-6 quarters. Now, obviously, a year back, we had guided to a mid-teens kind of a growth on the base business as well. But given the muted trends which we are seeing on the base business, apart from the ramp-up which you expect in second half because of a couple of new launches like Dalbavancin, can you provide some outlook in terms of how the base business growth would be going into 27-28? So that's my first question.
Business, although we are flat overall, but on the US side, we grew by 8%. So let me give you some more data on our US business. Our top 20 molecule on an YTD basis has grown by 9%. Our top 10 molecule on an YTD basis has grown by 14%. Our customers are intact. Our top 10 customers in US have grown by around 19%. US is where we are today. We have talked about the timing issues in US. Come back to the we are growing 19% YTD. But on the CMO side in ROW, we have degrown 53%, which again will get corrected from an overall standpoint. So having said that, our base business and given all the R&D launches, all the new product launches, we are confident that we will grow quickly.
And just to add to this, if you see, we have been investing into the capexes, including the pen assembling line, fill and finish of cartridges, insulin production, powder filling, and ophthalmic suspension. So all this portfolio of complex products would help us to have a growth in the rest of the world market and the regulated market as well. So put together, we are confident of achieving a mid-teens growth in the coming couple of years.
Sure, sir. So this mid-teens growth guidance which we have for 26, obviously there is a currency benefit of Cenexi sitting in there. So Cenexi in first half of this year has grown 30% in INR terms. But if you look at the constant currency growth for Cenexi, that's around 10%. So this year again has been muted if you X out the currency benefit. So yeah, some better visibility, clarity in terms of what would help us to achieve this mid-teens kind of a growth going forward would be helpful.
So a couple of large projects are, like we mentioned, the DARPA Munsing project. The other is the CMS project, what we just got approved. That's a large project where it's on market product. It's already in the area. That's almost 150 crores project.
So that's a larger one. The other one.
Sure, sir. And on the GLP-1 portfolio, while you have commercialized liraglutide with a partner, when do you expect your SEMA launches to begin across markets? And at least our earlier expectation was that the incremental 100 million vial capacity or cartridges capacity which you are putting up would largely be from a regulated market perspective. So just in terms of SEMA launches across EM and ROW markets, and what kind of a visibility you have right now for utilization of the initial 40 million capacity?
So we have one contract already, two in line, three total. We are also looking at more contracts in GLP. So our 40 million cartridge capacity, which is currently now, is kind of filled up. Now the 100 million capacity that we are building, second half of next year, is where we'll start, selling those capacities. We already in talks with many companies, for the Indian companies for the global market, global companies for global market. We have positioned ourselves as a top-tier GLP capacity company, and a lot of RFPs and a lot of discussions happening today.
Rahul, we have signed off is three earlier, right, and two more under discussion. Out of the three filed products, SEMA opens up next year in some markets. So it will start supplying to those markets if they get approval. Ultimately, it's a CDMO business. Once they get approval and those markets, we start supplying. As everybody knows, these are the, other than Canada and India, there are a couple of other non-regulated markets where the supplies will start too, once the approvals come. But till that time, majority of the contracts are signed on the exhibit batches and all that. Of course, Lira is also going from the same line. But the majority of the market comes only to 30, right? The SEMA. But all the semi-regulated and Canada will start next year once our partners get approved in those markets.
Sure, sir. Just a follow-up on that. So let's say this 40 million capacity, the initial capacity, so you are confident of utilizing this entire capacity, let's say by FY28, because by FY28, we would be into 2 years of SEMA launches across these markets.
Correct. It's a combination of Lira, SEMA, and a few other projects what we're working on that, but it will utilize, at least it will take 2 years to ramp up from, early next year.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much. That was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
So thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate your participation in the question and answer session during the call. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We look forward to connecting with you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.